My name is Dr. Teresa Larson, and I am the founder of Movement RX, and I'm a Marine Corps veteran. I assist leaders and business owners grappling with client loss, employee retention challenges, and business scalability issues that stem from the leaders' own mental and physical well-being blind spots. I do this through teaching business owners and leaders how to create a competitive advantage by dialing in their own well-being across 5 key health categories that impact how they show up for themselves, their people, and their families. The personal results are leaders that are able to thrive in their roles at home and at work. The business results are a stronger and more vibrant company culture, a business without hidden friction slowing it down, and most importantly, happier, empowered, and more engaged human beings. For the past 10 years, my team and I have worked with hundreds of business owners and leaders who in their first year of working with us have achieved breakthroughs like increasing revenue by 20% or solving the great resignation within their organization. However, most importantly, we have helped thousands of human beings from leaders to their people feel better and more empowered on a daily basis to handle all the challenges that come with growth and living a full life.
Hey, I want to take a second to just give a massive shout out to Teresa Larson. I had the rare opportunity to actually spend some time with Teresa at one of her events that she was putting on. And I got to tell you, it really opened my mind to more things than I was really thinking about as a CEO. And we all need somebody like Teresa to just kind of kick us back on the tracks and really keep us going every single day.
I am excited to connect with you about your event and would love to talk to you about how we can partner together to make your event a wow moment and experience for everyone who attends. If you are interested in learning more about our leader-focused competitive advantage trainings for your business, connect with me by signing up for your competitive advantage training call using the link provided. Remember, your well-being matters.
Welcome to Homefront Sit Rep. I hope you're in for a great show today, because I'm just a veteran talking about what's on my mind and maybe yours.
You can find Homefront Sit Rep on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. You can also check out Homefront Sit Rep's YouTube channel.
Buckle up, the show is starting. Welcome, everybody, to a Sunday edition of Homefront Sit Rep. How is everybody? Mr. Phenomenal, how are you, sir?
Man, I'm lovely, bro. Appreciate you inviting me on again. This is awesome. Hey, I'm pumped. I'm excited. Dude, I'm excited as well. Mr. JR, how are you?
I'm excellent. Glad to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. I love it. So, Al, thank you for coming on, and I'm excited to have you on here because we got a great show lined up for tonight. We got Miss Tab Bartley. She's a Marine Corps veteran. She's also a host of the Oath We Took podcast, and she's a public affairs specialist. So I'm excited. Let's bring her onto the stage here. Welcome to the stage, Miss Bartley. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. How are you guys?
Awesome. We are phenomenal, as Mr.
Phenomenal. Just phenomenal.
Man, I'm excited to have you on. So let's do this. Let's tell our listeners who you are and a little bit of your background.
Yep. So I am Tab Bartley. I served 8 years in the United States Marine Corps. I was a marketing and public affairs specialist. My first duty station was Marine Corps Base Quantico. I actually worked for the last newspaper of the Marine Corps there and helped stand up the first social media for the base. And then I went on recruiting duty as a marketing and public affairs Marine in Columbia, South Carolina, managed pieces of South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia. And then I ended up getting injured after going on a hike with the Rucking Raiders after having a child, and then left the Marine Corps. And now I work for the Department of Agriculture doing public affairs.
Nice. So you're involved with the Marine Corps League. You do a lot of advocating for veterans out there, not just Marines, but all veterans in general. So can you go into detail what you kind of do with the Marine Corps League and stuff like that?
Yep. So I am a public affairs officer for the Jack Moss Marine Corps League Detachment in Fredericksburg, Virginia. When I initially got out of the Marine Corps, it was hard for me to find a place, and I wasn't expecting that. My gender all of a sudden mattered a whole lot more than it did in the Marine Corps, and I really was not expecting that. And so I moved back home and had to kind of create an organization for female veterans because I just didn't find a place there. Luckily, more time home, found more veterans, and then moving here to Virginia. The current commandant we have, when he found out I was moving to Virginia, he reached out to me right away and was like, hey, you need to come and, you know, just hang out with us, hang out with a bunch of Marines, and went one meeting and never left. So I've been there ever since. It's been, I think, 2 years now.
Nice. Now, a lot of female veterans will have said the same thing that you did, that you couldn't really find a place that made you feel comfortable. She Served Sheroes on, which is another female podcast, Army veteran. She's the Veteran on. I've had several female veterans on the last few episodes this month. A lot of female veteran love pretty much for the whole month of January, because there was a need for it out there, because, you know, like, Brooke Jackson from She's the Veteran, she said that the reason she named her organization the way she did is because her and her husband got out of the car, had a veteran license plate, and some stranger walked up to her husband and said, thank you for your service. And he looked at the person and he goes, no, she's the veteran. So that happens quite a bit. And unfortunately, that's too prevalent in our society today that female veterans get overlooked.
It's a constant assumption, too.
Yeah, it is a constant assumption as well. So,
and I think for me too, it was so hard because that wasn't my experience in the Marine Corps. My gender was most often like a positive thing, or at least it wasn't a negative. Right. I was always around Marines, some of my best friends, and going through the disabilities that I was going through on top of it, where I had multiple organ prolapses, which is a female, you know, woman's issue. It just like it had it all just back to back, where I just felt like a burden. I felt alone, and I wasn't expecting to feel that so intently when I got out.
Yeah. A lot of veterans, when we get out of the military, if we don't go right into doing something, we lose that sense of purpose. And a lot of us fall down a rabbit hole, and sometimes we get out of that rabbit hole, sometimes we don't get out of that rabbit hole. For me, when I got out, I got into a job, run of the mill, just doing this or doing that. And then, you know, I felt like that there was a, something missing because I didn't have that camaraderie that I had when I was in the Marine Corps. So I got involved with some veteran service organizations locally, and they were fine and dandy, but I still didn't feel that that connection that I required to keep me from, you know, the night terrors and stuff that I have. Didn't keep me from that because I still was waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning, sweating from head to toe, freaking my wife out. You know, she's a light sleeper anyway. And she's like, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, "Nothing's wrong." And then, you know, I couldn't go back to sleep. So I just dove more headfirst into more organizations to stay busy. And, you know, a lot of the organizations I did notice weren't, they were more male driven. Instead of, you know, female and male, they didn't have a lot just for the female side of the house. And it just kind of blew my mind because, you know, in my life growing up, my mom was very prominent because I didn't have, my dad was never there. He was always gone. So for me, females have always been a prominent role in my life, even now, because you can ask Al, I live in a house full of females.
The estrogen ocean at the Willis's house.
Yeah, so one of them's watching right now. She's upstairs watching the show upstairs. And, you know, it's my wife and my two daughters and me. And then I got one male dog and a female dog. So we're definitely outnumbered in this house when it comes to that. But yeah, females, female veterans need, and then candles here. And Saranda outside the house, too. So for me, female veterans need a platform, and kind of like what you do with your Oath We Took podcast, you give just Marines, but Marine female veterans and male veterans a platform to talk about their stories and tell their stories. Here's my daughter. She says, "I'm watching it and Lo." So this one, Lorelai there, Lo, we call her Lo. She's actually planning on going into the either Army or Navy. I'm not really for sure which one she's going into. She wants to be a medic.
She looks pretty smart. She should probably go to the Navy. She looks way too smart. She's probably got too high of an ASVAB score to go into the Army. So,
oh, dude, she's super smart. Her and her sister are both super smart. Sometimes too smart for their own good. Yes, they are dangerous. That's for sure. So tell our listeners a little bit about your podcast, even though I kind of went into it a little bit, but a little bit more about your podcast.
Yep. So the Oath We Took podcast is the show telling the Marine Corps story through the Marines that served. A lot of times I focus on Marines who often don't feel like they have a story that's worth being told. And it's really trying to help challenge that perception and those preconceived notions of what it means to serve. We are constantly talking and sharing people's stories that maybe aren't the norm that you hear, as well as it's not always sunshine and rainbows, not always perfect, not always that they loved the Marine Corps, because I feel like those stories are just as important. And, you know, I've gotten to participate in a lot of events, and it's always cool, you know, being an event or seeing like you're the first female or this and that, but how many steps did it take before becoming the first to do something right? Or then the after, because just being the first doesn't mean that there was any real change or others. So, yeah, it's an awesome podcast. I've been blessed that so many of the Marines on it so far, I've had a personal relationship with them. I probably cry too often on the podcast, never planned. But because of that, it's, you know, Marines I spent time with and not expecting us to have the conversations that we were going to have. One, and I'll say it because I'm not sure this episode will ever air, but I had a Marine who, you know, they shared with me something that they never shared with anybody before, how close they were to suicide. And they went on this adventure, and essentially at the end of it, they had planned to commit suicide. And the individual, you know, it was a few days after I was getting ready to publish it, and they were like, "I'm not ready for my story to be out there." And I was just like, "That's perfectly fine. No pressure. If you ever are, let me know. If not, thank you so much for like trusting me enough to tell me your story." And so that's my goal with the podcast. I can't promise every story will be out there, but at the very least, at least another person will hear another Marine story.
Right. It's a real.
Yeah.
Yeah. The demons are real. And like you said, they're, you know, something about doing a podcast and talking to people. Now, like my podcast and Triple Threat, we're live when we do our recordings, unless the person that, you know, I'm talking to says, no, I don't want to go live, then we don't go. But I've had, like, I had Gunny Dreyer on, who was a MARSOC Marine. He was still in the military, but if you know anything about his story, he was one of the MARSOC 3, which they had that big battle with what happened in Iraq, where somebody wound up dying. And, you know, the chain of command was basically saying, hey, you're going to be, you know, charged with murder and all kinds of things. So he was like, hold off on, you know, letting my episode go live. So I held on to it for 2 months, 3 months before he gave me the okay to release it. And I'm like, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. And, you know, he's got a hell of a story. You know, he just recently retired. They pretty much said, hey, you got to retire. So he got an honorable discharge, you know, 24 years, I believe he served in the Marine Corps. And now he's a business owner. He's part owner of Crux Distillery. He's also part of the Brothers in Arms Foundation, I believe is what it's called. So, you know, he's got a hell of a story, and it needed to be told. And then, like your friend there that doesn't want their story to be told, at least they told somebody. At least somebody.
Yeah, heard I was them. About to say, I think the good thing for, like, what you do, Willis, and what Tab's doing is, so even for us, like, you know, outside of the podcast that we do and jumping on your podcast and it's therapeutic for us, right, to do the podcast, right? I get to come on and you know, have some relationships and build relationships, right, and share our stories and just really have some camaraderie that we've missed from the time that we left the service, right? And yep. I think it's awesome that it's a platform for somebody to be able to tell their story, right, or to even if it never gets aired, Tab, even if that never comes out and they're never ready for their story to come out, they had the ability to talk about it, right? To air it out, to get it off their chest, to say whatever they want, scream the top of your lungs, whatever it is, even if it never goes public or nobody ever sees it, the therapy and the side of it where you're able to say that to somebody and just speak it, right? Because sometimes the hardest thing to do is to open your mouth and say what's going on or to say how you feel or to say, you know, that you're hurt or to say that you're sad or to say that you just want to fuck somebody up. I don't know, right? But even if it never gets aired, the fact of the matter is it was a platform that gave somebody the opportunity to say, I just want my story told. And I don't care if anybody ever knows it. I just want to be able to get it out, get it off my chest. Right. You know, I want to push it past my demons and get away from it and get it out. So it's very, very therapeutic to be able to speak whatever it is you feel, even if nobody ever hears it, right? You feel like somebody's listening or somebody took the time out to listen and to hear what they had to say. And that may be all it takes, right? To change their perspective or to change their direction, right? You know, they were in a dark spot. They talked to you, they talked to David, whoever. And now they're putting another foot in front of the other now, moving forward again, back towards the fight instead of hiding, right? So yeah, it's phenomenal what they do. So.
And especially for me, you know, I always say that leaving my transition out of the Marine Corps was the most mentally and physically and emotionally challenging time of my life. I personally don't like to say that I was suicidal, but I understood how a veteran could come to that. And I, you know, I had the moment where I thought that things would be better without me, that I was a burden and that everything I was going through, everybody would have just been better without me. And I didn't want to die. That's the craziest thing.
Right.
I did not want to die. I don't know how to scream it high enough from the rooftops. I was so fucking scared of dying.
Yeah.
And yet I still thought that maybe that was a better choice. You know what I mean? And I realized, you know, you saying that as I started telling my story more, it's like then I started having more power.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not like the mental health just like went away, but
it's ownership. When you speak something into existence, now I own it. Right. Yeah. If I hide it and I suck it up and I pack it down, it's winning. That it owns me. But once I get it out and I spit it out into the airways, or I spit it out to a friend or a shipmate or to a Marine and say, hey, here's what's going on. Now I take ownership and I own that shit, right? Now you can't hurt me because I'm talking about you. You can't do, there's something you can do to me, right? I mean, so yeah, and I think and you kind of said it, it's getting out, transitioning, whether it's retirement or separation. I'd say it all the time. The scariest time in my life was never going into combat, was never going on deployment. It wasn't boot camp. It wasn't Marine Corps training. It wasn't shit. It was separation. Like, the scariest time in my life was when, holy shit, this big chapter of my life is over, right? Like, I don't know what else I'm going to do now. I've done this for 22 years. I don't know what I'm going to do. And nobody's kicking down Al Hero's door to give me a job. No, nobody's beating, you know, calling me saying, hey, it's terrifying. And you kind of retreat into introverted dark place where you're like, man, I don't know what's going to happen next. Right. I'm here. I am. And that door is closing and I don't know what fucking door is going to open next for me. And you're not going to kill yourself, but you really are like, man, I don't know how I'm going to support my family, for one, because my paycheck is about to drop a whole lot.
Right.
I'm not getting that BAH. I ain't getting all these extra, because I was in recruiting too, Tab. And actually I recruited and I covered everything from Asheville, North Carolina down to Augusta, Georgia. So
I was AO.
Yeah. So my main, my you said it earlier. I was like, that's funny. My main office was in Greenville. So I lived in Hendersonville, but I had my headquarters office, me and my warrant officer, was in Greenville. So I covered Columbia. You probably were before me, maybe. I don't know. I it was 2 years ago I retired out of that area. But yeah, so it was like,
so
it was
crazy.
It was terrifying because it's like, holy shit, what's next, right? Like, what am I supposed to do? Maybe the world's better off, my family's better off if I wasn't around, because I'm not the provider. I'm not the, in my mind, mentally, I'm not the warrior I once was, because now I'm going to hang up. I'm hanging up my uniform and I'm hanging up my medals and I'm hanging up my ribbons. And Monday morning when I get up, I'm not donning the cloth of the nation anymore. I'm just a regular old guy. So, yeah, it's very, very, very difficult, right? So, I get it. I'm with you. We're on the same page. So trust me.
Yeah. So just telling the story, like you said, your friend that, you know, doesn't want their episode released. Just them telling you their story, at least it's out there, and that might stop them from deciding to swallow that bullet.
Right.
Which is simply amazing, just because now they have a platform, that story's out there. And I agree with both of you. The more that we tell our stories, the easier it gets for us. Now, Doc here, Thomas Reardon, he's a Navy Corpsman Greenside. He said it's hard to leave a world we know and give up any control we have to go out to a society that never understands us. I would agree with him 100%. And this guy here is Navy Corpsman, Greenside Corpsman. His story is unbelievable, let me tell you. So he was in during Desert Storm. And when he got out, he was an EMT, first responder. And then he got to the point where everything that he was seeing with his PTS and stuff made him homebound. He couldn't leave his house. And he slowly, you know, slowly started coming out and going to equine therapy and going through that. And now he's out volunteering. He's out doing this and doing that. And now I asked him to go to a football game with me. He's not ready for that yet, but I'm still going to keep pushing because he's my brother. And that's what I'm going to do. Just because I know eventually he'll get to that point where he's able to go out and enjoy a crowd to a point where it's not like, you know, stupid cracked and you're elbow to elbow. So, but yeah, his story. And then Michael says sometimes we still feel that. And yeah, they were talking about, you know, not being able to tell their story and stuff. So,
right.
No, it's super cool. And I'm excited you came on and to get to know you and see what you're doing for veterans, you know, on your podcast, Marine Corps Veterans, and then what you're doing for, you know, with the Marine Corps League and stuff like that.
I like the fact that, Tab, that you're taking as kind of a stand and doing something to push for female veterans. Because me and Willis have talked about it a couple of times, right? I really the stigma it is like, thank you for your service, and it's my wife, it ain't me. But I think the stigma is, or maybe the country still isn't ready to accept the fact that we have amazing, right? Like my favorite word is phenomenal, right? Phenomenal female warriors who have done everything and anything in between that any male operator or male warrior has ever done, right? And it's sad that they don't get the recognition, right? They don't get the props that they deserve for their sacrifice for this country, because not only, you know, you said you're a mom, right? You had a baby. You were in the Marine Corps doing your thing, and you're raising a child. Like, I mean, that's too shit. I got a house full of kids, and I damn sure doing a shitty job of raising these things, right? Damn, right? But it is. It's very, very. It's disheartening and almost angry. I think it was on one of Willis's shows. It irritates me that our female service members don't get the respect that they're due. They don't get the same respect as, you know, their male counterparts, right? You know, it's like, oh, he's a warrior. So is she. She's done just as much as I've done, right? And your story and your battles are way different than mine, right? Because, you know, we're males. We're trained from the time I was a little boy. My dad was like, suck it the fuck up. You're not supposed to cry. You're not supposed. Well, you know, it's the same for you. You know, you have to be a Marine, you know, rifleman first. I don't give a fuck what your job is. You're a rifleman first. That's what the Marine Corps is. I don't give a shit if you're a PAO, if you're an IT, pick any POG position, POG MOS, and say, oh, you ain't shit. They're riflemen first, because when the shit hits the fan, I don't give a shit about how many pictures you're taking to have. I need you to grab your rifle and head on down range. And that's what y'all do. And you definitely don't get the love and respect that you guys are due. So I'm really glad that you have a platform and you're doing something to change that, because we don't give our female veterans as much respect or we look at, a lot of time, I think they're looked at as a second rate. Well, they, even though she was there, or she did this, she definitely didn't do as much as he did, which is all fucking bullshit. Right. I mean, I was in Iraq, and we had females that were on convoys, females that were sitting in a gun turret. We had females that were walking on patrols. I mean, they did just as much as anybody else, but they really don't get the respect and the admiration that's due to their service. Right. You know,
and I heard something the other day that it was like, it's very interesting that we are this nation that will worship service members and veterans, but we won't do what we need to actually take care of them. And it just hit me so hard, because like, so I, you know, months trying to figure out what is going on with me. I literally have organs falling out of my body, and I am told that it's not life or death, and plenty of women live with it, and the VA can fix me. I can't stand for more than a few minutes. And this is my third child. Okay. I've had three children naturally without a drop of medication. I know pain. That's not an issue. I physically can't stand because organs are falling out of my body. And I wasn't ready for that. The Marine Corps didn't prepare me for that.
Nope.
By any means, because I don't know how to prepare for that.
take some Motrin and change your running shoes.
Right?
Yes.
Motrin, you'll be fine.
And then, you know, and that led me to, you know, I put a congressional inquiry in because it was 2 days before my EAS, literally 2 days before my EAS. So I put a congressional inquiry in because I was like, well, what else am I going to do? Like, maybe this will result in something, or at least nobody else dealing what I had to deal with. And my elected official said that that wasn't their job, because that wasn't the committee they were on. And I was like, I may have missed something. I may have missed something. But last time I checked, that's literally your job. I ended up running for office and doing a lot of in Indiana. That was really, really cool stuff that I never planned to do in my life ever because of it. And it really did like spearhead a lot of initiatives, and where I feel like I'm finally in a place where I'm not sure I'll ever feel like I'm doing enough or feel like I did when I was in the Marine Corps, but I'm at least doing more. Right. And I'm back to telling the Marine Corps story, and I'm back to doing some of those things.
Now, you ran for what is a Senate seat in Indiana?
State Senate, yes. While pregnant during COVID, with no political, like, I have no want to be a politician. It was just they weren't doing their damn job. And so I was like, well, fine, then I'll do it.
You're lucky. You're a gangster, because there's no fucking way on a million years I would. The dirt and the shit in my closet, Oh my God. It'd be a damn smear campaign. I wouldn't last a whole week.
Oh, and actually, wow. It was COVID. So it was an interesting campaign alone. And it was a good campaign. It was a good experience. Again, I'm not a politician though. So it was a good experience. We'll leave it at
we had an episode on not too long ago, and we were talking about kind of that realm of being in politics. And basically what we were saying is if enough veterans get together and create a party just so we can get a people that's going to help take care of veterans, because unfortunately, you know, the VA system in some states is not up to par where it needs to be. That's like with me, you know, I've been out since 2004 and I'm just now going through the VA journey. Like I'm just now, because I put it off because I was one of the veterans that said, oh, I don't need it because, you know, for one, I had health care. I've had health care since I got out. So anything that I ever needed was taken care of. And, you know, I was like, well, there's other veterans out there that are more screwed up than I am. And my wife is like, dude, your PTS is out of control. And I didn't, you know, I was in denial because Marine Corps macho male Marine here. No, I can deal with my PTS. But I've slowly realized that it is affecting me in my personal life. Not so much my work life, but my personal life, it is affecting me because I'm easy to snap. My daughters can tell you if she's on here, she'll probably pipe up. I do have triggers. You know, certain things trigger me. Like if we have to leave church to be at church by 11:15, well, I want to leave at 10:45 so I can get to church early enough that I can get me an end seat. I have to be on the end. I can't be in the middle of the aisle. And if we're not leaving by 10:45, I'm like, I'm yelling at everybody. Let's go. We got to move. We got to move. We got to move. And, you know, then that starts a fight amongst me and my wife and two daughters. And it's just like, holy cow. So
bold move, Cotton. You're going to lose that one every time.
Yeah.
You're going to lose that one every time.
Yeah.
And it's for me, like, you know, when we're talking like the mental health and the physical health, for me, it was so much like having to find like these holistic things and these, like, there was just so many things in that healing journey that, like, kind of like you were saying, my husband ended up having to go to a doctor's appointment with me. And I talked about, you know, my organs, I talked about this, and then it came to the point of mental health. And he like just sat there for a second, like giving me the chance to like, are you going to ask for help? And then I was like, oh, no, I'm fine. And he was like, nope. We're not. And I then, you know, I've had really good and really bad with the VA. It kind of seems to be either or, but I did go through cognitive therapy and that was life changing for me, EMDR? Especially at that time. Yeah.
The EMDR. I did the EMDR when I was inpatient. The little laser lights.
Oh no, the cognitive therapy.
Oh, you did you did the cognitive, like the like remembering and putting yourself back. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I wasn't expecting that to be, I mean, that was awesome. And then when we moved to Virginia, there's a lot more holistic care here. And there's actually another female Marine who's here and she does what's called biocraniosacral therapy, which is spine energy, non-invasive work. It's kind of like all of it. And life-changing in a whole nother way where it was almost like I could feel the anxiety leaving my body. And it was just looking at the body again in that whole concept, you know, like, and my faith is really strong. And it wasn't during my transition, obviously, because there was a lot of going on, but it was like finding that like whole person concept again, and these things and what we eat and just all of these things that would have this massive impact on my anxiety and panic attacks that I didn't think about before. Because for some reason, although the incidents has happened years ago in the Marine Corps, you just keep trekking along, right? Until the point where you're just not there. And then it just hits you like a semi-truck.
Like a ton of bricks.
Yeah. And that's well, like David said about his wife, you know, like your husband, he recognized you didn't, right? And I tell people all the time, like trying to describe like PTSD, like for us, like David said, he's a fucking Marine. I don't need no help. It's almost like you're facing the sun, right? And the sun's beaming on me. It's warm. I can see the sun. It's perfect, but I don't see the shadow behind me. But everybody else that's in my family that's behind me and supporting me, they see this shadow. And that shadow don't always – it's scary. It's bigger than what I think it is. And it's casting – it's shadowing my family. It's shadowing everything I want to do. But my face is in the sun. It looks great to me. It looks great. Everything's warm and perfect for me because in my head, this is just who I am now. But everybody behind me is standing in that dark, long, big shadow, and it's terrifying and scary for them. And sometimes it takes one of them to step out of that shadow and say, hey, fucktard, you need to fix your shit. Like, something ain't right. So it's good that your husband was able to identify and say, hey, maybe you need to, you know what I mean?
Which is so crazy because we're dual military. So yeah. He was deployed to Djibouti. Like, he experienced so much more than me. And I try to not say that, right, because I don't want other veterans to say those type of things either. But, like, he has his own PTSD, his own things. And so it's, like, really hard trying to raise these young children. All of a sudden, you know, you move and you don't have the support. Like, I had all the support when I was in the Marine Corps. I always had somebody to help with the kids. Like, yep. There were always Marines and spouses, and it was just both of us trying to find that. It was really hard.
So with you being dual military, you know, your husband being military, you being military, can you see his PTS that he can't see? And does he see what?
We both see it. Luckily, ours is kind of the opposite in a lot of ways. I become very, like, just intrusive and depressed, and I don't really say much. And his just portrays a little different. My mental health was just, I was having a lot of panic attacks. Like, I mean, in an amount where I also get complex migraines, which imitate strokes. So there was this time we didn't know if I was having seizures or if they were panic. Like, there was just, like, when there was all these questions on top of it, I think for me, that was a huge thing with my mental health, as where it was like, okay, once I was diagnosed with PTSD, it was like, okay, we have a starting point. Once I was diagnosed, like, that's anxiety. Okay. That was a panic attack and that was a complex migraine. It was like, okay, so we have starting points here. So for me, because my PTSD is so tied to dying, and that's such a big trigger, that all of these other things then triggered it, because it was always, I'm dying. It just, like, escalated of, like, that's my heart stopping, right? When it's like, no, your heart's just racing. But I had never experienced that before in my life. And so I was that person that could go up in a front of a crowd and talk, right? And all of a sudden I couldn't do that. And so it was very, like, again, it was a mind fuck.
Yeah, some crazy shit.
Definitely, yeah.
Definitely a mind fuck. So Rich LaMonica, who hosts the Misfit Nation, Army veteran, got a great show down in Fort Campbell is where he is, said he can't wait to connect with you and bring you on his show. So.
Oh yeah,
that's fine. He's one. Remember, I was telling you about the Tip of the Spear Veteran Podcast that we did, the roundtable. He's one of the hosts as well, as with Al and Triple Threat Vets, and he will be reaching out to you and bringing you on his show. That's what we kind of do here with Homefront Sit Rep, is where, you know, we get people together and get that information out there. Like, a lot of times I'll bring in veteran service organizations from around the country, or veterans as yourself as another podcast host, and let you tell your story so people know who you are. Like, I went to your Oath We Took podcast page, and I invited over 1,000 people to like your page, just so people could get to know. And I did that same with Triple Threat. Yeah. Misfit Nation, just because I want to share that wealth with people out there. You know, I got, you know, my group of listeners are from, you know, my niche of people, and then, like, Triple Threat got their niche of people, Misfit Nation. So as long as we can get your story out there and let you tell your story and what you're doing for Marine Corps veterans from around the country, and what you're doing with the Marine Corps League, and then what you're doing with the Department of Agriculture and stuff like that. I think that's simply amazing that I'm able to do that. And this is my therapy. Like Al said, this is my therapy. Yep. Me helping veterans helps ease my night tremors and my PTS, and being able to tell my story over and over again, which I don't really go into a whole lot of details. My wife will tell you that in the 20 years that we've been married, she's still finding out stuff now that I've never talked about, because I'm more open when it comes to the podcast, you know, whether I'm on Al and M's show or Rich's show, I'm more open to tell a little bit more and more about my military service. So,
you know what though, David, I think that boils down, and you kind of mentioned it when you talk about, like, you know, Rich's podcast and Tabs and Deeds and all, it's crazy that it's a testament to us as veterans, right? Because we're not trying to outdo each other. We're not trying to compete for this. We're not competing for guests. We really are true to what we are. Like, we're a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And, you know, we will pass guests along and we'll support each other. The civilian world, they have no fucking clue, because they don't do that. Right. Everybody's trying to outdo each other. Everybody's trying to one each up each other. Everybody's trying to be better than the next man. Everybody's hating on each other. But it's something about our service and what we've done. Like, we have the ability to come on and say, hey, check these people out, and check these guys out, and check her out. It's awesome. And it is. It's very, very, very therapeutic to be able to come on and talk about whatever it is on your mind. It ain't got to be important, just to be able to talk about it. Man, it's awesome. Because I think it goes back to, like, that camaraderie piece, because I just met Tab, but I would have no problem calling her and saying, hey, you got a minute to talk, right? Because we have that connection, regardless if I've met you one time. I joke all the time and say the military is like no other thing you've ever experienced. You can meet somebody on a Monday, checked into a new command, you meet somebody on a Monday, and on fucking Saturday, people think y'all have known each other your whole lives, your best friends. They're at your house hanging out with your kids, barbecuing. Like, it's the only, you don't do that in the civilian world. I work for a civilian company, and you don't hang out with your coworkers like that. You don't talk to them like that. But when it comes to the military, man, we really just, like, lean on each other. And I think it's because, you know, we were all, you know, to some degree, and it doesn't matter if it's combat or whatever, nobody's story is bigger than anybody else's, right? Nobody's service is bigger or greater than anybody else's. We were all forged in a fire. We were all forged in that fire of service and camaraderie and service over self and brotherhood and sisterhood. And that bond is so strong across all branches and all lines. Like, it's amazing to be able to see, you know, Homefront Sit Rep and what they do, and the Memphis Nation, and just all these different groups that work together, and they're not trying to just beat each other up. It's a testament to what we do and who we are. It's fucking awesome.
You know? Something as simple as just trying to have just a simple conversation with somebody that in other aspects, you know, you might be afraid to have, for maybe fear of possibly being judged, just wanting to talk to somebody that can relate to you,
right,
and not having to constantly stay in that box when you're around other people. Because, you know, I want these people, you know, to think I'm crazy, or, you know, something's wrong with me or whatever.
Yeah.
Having a simple conversation with somebody can be challenging at times. And that's just all some people need to make themselves feel better.
Yeah. Well, the military and the veterans, if I ran into Dave, if I never met David, and I know who he was, and I never met Tab, but we were in a crowd and I ran into Tab at a restaurant, and the first thing out of her mouth is, oh, I was in the Marine Corps. Instantly, we're connected. Instantly, for the rest of the night, I'm in a crowd of people I don't know. I'm not comfortable in this situation. Instantly, Taz, my new best friend, and I'm going to hang out with her, or hang out with David, or hang out with Ty, or hang out with Rich all night long. Like, we're now best friends. Like, we're exchanging numbers. We're planning barbecues. Like, for the rest of that night, I'm attached to Tab's hip, and vice versa, because there's a link automatically. That changes. There's a link automatically, no matter what branch it is. Now she's my new best friend. And I'm going to, you know, I've got her back. She's got my back. If shit pops off in this crowd, me and her about to fucking lay waste to everybody here. Right. It's automatic. It's unspoken. It's just, it's automatic, period. That's just how it is.
And the thing is, we don't have to all agree on every little thing that's the same, because I think that's the thing too. It's like, that was, like, for me, the beauty of the Marine Corps was meeting all of these people from all these different places who did have different views, were able to see life a different way. Like, my husband, I am from a cornfield in the Midwest of Indiana. My husband is from Bronx, New York.
Oh, dang.
We are completely...
Get a new one. Get a new
never,
one.
Never.
Get a new one.
Never. But it's this beauty of, like, so different lives, but then there's things that you have in common, there's things that you don't, and yet you can still coexist. You can still, like, have love and these things. And I think for me, that was... that was something that was a little hard to finding a veteran organization initially, because it's like, we don't all have to feel the same about anything. We just have to respect each other enough. We still need to be that like safe haven for each other, right? That's how it should be, that every veteran feels welcome to come here or to come there, but we have each other's backs, right? Yeah. Like that's like, yeah. You know, that was for me, that was my experience in the Marine Corps.
Yeah. So it's, you know, that instant connection, like I can be out, like Al said, in a public setting and see another veteran. And a lot of times I can tell who's the veteran because they're kind of like me. They're always looking around, got a head on the swivel. So you can always tell who the veteran is. And my wife and kids get so mad at me because I'll be like, oh, there's a veteran. There's a veteran. They're like, well, how do you know? I said, just watch them. You could tell. Just watch them. And then like Michael here, nobody other than another veteran will understand the brotherhood. I would agree with you 100%. You can tell a civilian, like, oh, all right. So I met Al and him a while back. I don't know when, but we automatically had that connection from get go, from day one. And same thing with Rich when I reached out to Rich and we started talking. It just we built that bond, and it's only got better over time that we've been doing the things that we do together. And what did Rich say here? The boogie down. I am from Jersey City, on the top of the mountain. I love it. Yeah, so we build that. Instantly we build that bond, that friendship, like Al said, where, you know, if I met him in a bar and he told me that he was a veteran, I would be, you know, like glue. It just happens, and a lot of civilians don't understand that. My wife gets, like I said, my wife gets so upset because I will gravitate to that veteran all the whole time. Yeah. And it's just I don't know.
Well, if your wife's like my wife, she's a people person, but she's not going to be your friend right off the jump. It's going to take a little bit of getting to know you, a little conversation. Like I went to the Masonic Lodge here in I live in Pensacola, like the Pensacola, Milton, Florida area. So I went to a Masonic Lodge. I met a guy, like we're on the porch talking, and he's prior Marine. 3 days later, he's at my house. We're drinking whiskey. We're hanging out. Like, he's brought his kids over. And most people are like, that's weird. Like, who's coming over? I'm like, oh, Brandon. She's like, who's that? I was like, I met him like the other night. He's a Marine. Like, we literally sat around for like 6 hours just telling sea stories and war stories and bullshitting. And it was just the greatest time ever. But you just don't see that in other, you know, organizations or other people. Like we are a different breed. We're cut from a different cloth. You know, it's different. And like you said, Tab, it doesn't matter what you look like, where you're from, what your political beliefs is. And I believe I'm a red, white, blue. I bleed. I got DeSantis on the back wall, right? But I don't give a shit what your political beliefs are. You're my sister. Like we're that is not going to define who we are or stop what we do, right? Because when you put on that uniform and you go into work every day and you show up for muster and you show up for duty, you don't give a fuck what color the person is. Like me and you are in the same shitty situation. We're both sitting on a CAX or a field exercise in this shitty ass foxhole, sweating our asses off, right? We're the same situation. We're the same fire, and we're best friends. We don't give a fuck about none of the other shit. The shit that the civilian world deals with, we don't care. Yeah. Doesn't matter to us one single solitary bit. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like,
and it's this, you know, I named my podcast The Oath We Took because it's, we were all willing. We took this oath and we were willing to give our life for that. And some veterans pay for it in a moment and others throughout an entire lifetime. And that's the reality of it, right? Is no matter what your experience is, at some point you were willing to say, I'm going to give my life for this country and
for each other.
There's no other way to slice it. Yeah. There's no other way to slice it. That's the oath we took.
Because I'm sorry, Dave, the fact of the matter is, even when you're you're combat veterans, like when I was in combat, it's fun to say, and it feels good to say, I'm doing this for my country and I'm fighting for my country and for my flag. But the fact of the matter is I wasn't. I mean, I was, but I really wasn't. I was fighting for the guy next to me and the girl next to me. That's what I was doing it for. I'm here with you in this shitty situation to ensure that you get home to your family. You're doing the same for me. So it's a different relationship when I'm willing to die for you to get you and you're willing to do the same for me. Like all that other, like, I don't give a shit about what's going on in the world. Like, I care about this moment, my 3 foot bubble, the people right here, right now, me and you, we're doing this. And great. It's great to be like, patriotism. That's all we joined for that. But I wasn't necessarily fighting for that in that moment. I was fighting for the person next to me. Right. That's kind of where it was. Right.
So Lisa Cook here says a firefighter medic will understand as well as they know how to keep the size up the situation and keep your head on the swivel. I will tell you that a first responder, regardless if it's police, fire, EMS, they are a different type of brotherhood, but very similar to being in the military, because they're always, you know, if you go to a bar and you'll see a group of police officers that are huddled together, or firefighters or medics, they all kind of do the same thing that we do as veterans in the military. We all gravitate towards each other. So yes, Lisa, they definitely understand, and they understand, and they have their own PTS that they mm-hmm. deal with, you know, especially police officers and EMS. My sister-in-law, she's a captain with Oldham County EMS, and my brother-in-law is a lieutenant with Louisville Metro. So, you know, the death that they see is very similar to what we see in the military. So, yes, yeah. They will definitely understand.
And Lisa, don't get it twisted. When I speak about veterans and brotherhood and sisterhood and camaraderie, when I'm saying that, I'm not just referring to me personally, not referring to military veterans. I'm referring to anybody who takes an oath to support and defend their country, their community, whatever it is, the city. So I when I talk about veteran and brotherhood, I'm speaking on first responders and police officers and retired officers and firefighters and medics and nurses. To me, that's my community as well, right? Yeah. If you raised your right hand and you were like, I'm willing to do whatever to take care of somebody else, you were in my circle, right? You're in my 3 foot circle. I promise you that, yeah, for sure.
No, I agree with you 100%. I always back the blue firefighters, paramedics. You know, it's just something that needs to be done. Just like, you know, Al and Tab, you know, if y'all ever need anything, my phone's always open. So that's just what we do. So Lisa says, I'm an Army brat and first responder nurse. Well, thank you, Miss Lisa, for taking care and continuing to serve. So all right, well, we're at a small break. Let's pay the bills, per se. So stand by. So if you're in the music business out there, look up talenttalents.com or Louisville Local Entertainment. And then Al, I also got a special one tonight, too. You'll see it here in a minute.
Owner of Talon Talents here. And I just want to say that we are ecstatic to be a major sponsor of Homefront Sit Rep, a community that is ran by veterans and made for veterans. So thank you for tuning in. Talon Talents was formed in order to create a music scene that was together in the form of a collective, so that no one has to do everything on their own. And guess what? We've been doing this for free for over a year. So please go and check out Talon Talents through Facebook or through our official website at www.talonttalents.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you again for tuning in to Homefront Sit Rep, a veteran-owned and operated podcast just for.
My name's Rick Ames. I own Louisville Local Entertainment, a company for music shows, promotions, and bookings in the Louisville music scene. As a veteran, it's my honor to support and sponsor local veteran-owned businesses such as Homefront Sit Rep, made by veterans for veterans. So if you're in the music business and need some help booking or promoting a show for free, look me up. Louisville Local Entertainment. And thanks for tuning in to Homefront Sit Rep.
Gear up in style wearing Got Your Six apparel. Every purchase makes a difference. It's more than just clothing. It's a statement of gratitude. Upgrade without breaking the bank. Discover cost-effective, high-quality clothing made in the USA. Each shirt is handcrafted by our team in the great state of Texas and shipped for free to your front door. Got Your Six is where quality meets purpose. We're a small veteran-owned business that takes pride in the mission and the value of our products. Join us in growing a community, supporting our heroes, veterans, and first responders by wearing a custom design.
I thought you'd never ask.
Visit sameflagsameoath.com and use the code TRIPLETHREAT for 10% off. Follow us on all social media platforms for any upcoming releases or events, and you can reach out to us with questions anytime. We are here to support our brothers and sisters.
All right, we're back. You like that one?
Yeah, it's a good one. That's the new one.
Yeah, I love it. It's awesome.
Oh, Matt.
You see that, Al?
Oh, okay. Well, the skunk comment. You know what, Rich? It hurts. It hurts, bro. Because I earned this shit. Every bit of this is earned.
Oh, man. Who was it? Paul something?
Paul Peters. And it was funny. I looked him up. I was going to friend request him on like my personal Facebook, and I can't find him. I seen his, like, he had the koala bear. Like I couldn't find him. I was looking for him. Paul, if you're listening, bro, hook me up, man. When you come through, I'm gonna buy you a beer, bro. Because I like talking shit. And I like getting shit talked back to me.
No, Al, that comment was freaking hilarious, though. From I don't know how, something about a skunk on his face.
Yeah, like a skunk on my face. He's mad because he can't even grow a mustache. I know what's going on, Paul. You're
right.
Hater, bro.
Oh, man. But no, so if you're out there and you're looking in the music business, look up talentowns.com. Or if you're in the Louisville local area, look up Louisville Local Entertainment. And then also, if you're a veteran first responder, go to sameflagsameoath.com and get you some shirts, because what they're doing out there with Got Your Six and Same Flag is awesome. So speaking of that, hopefully Monday I will have my my box here from Got Your Six. I can't wait.
If you get yours before I get mine, I'm going to be out. I've already called Matt. I won, which is crazy. I shouldn't have. And I told him, like, pick somebody else. I got lucky, and they my name was picked to win a box. And I told Matt, I was like, look, dude, give it to one of our other viewers. Like, I don't need it. And he was like, no, you won fair and square. So I'm still waiting on my box as well.
Nice. So yeah, it's a new shirt. It's going to be a co-branded shirt with Got Your Six and Same Flag, and then Homefront Sit Rep. And then we're working on a couple more. We kind of gave Matt some ideas, and Dr. Teresa Larson, who's a Marine Corps veteran, she was on the show, and she said that she had her friends Vicious and Delicious. So we're coming up with a shirt ideal for her, and what we're going to wind up doing at the end of the year. The sales from that, we're going to donate to a charity of her choice. I'm pretty excited about it. It's just, things are working good for, you know, Matt and Becky out there. And if we can support them anyway, we're going to. So Miss Tab, if there's a Marine out there, or do you do Greenside, like Navy Corpsman, would you interview them as well?
I would Greenside. I haven't yet. I'm trying to get my husband to be the first one, but I'm not sure if he will. But yes, Greenside Corpsman, FMF Corpsman, or I should say FMF Sailors, because it's more than just Corpsman who can get that shield. Yes, they can come on the Oath We Took podcast. My goal is to have at least one this season. Minimum. Well,
and if you don't bring on a doc, a couple of docs, like, I mean, really,
I know.
Who gets rid of all the Marine Corps syphilis that y'all get?
I'm not gonna lie. I had planned on the first season, and then it was just like, all right, it just went.
How many Marines would be out there with a clap right now for some corpsman like your husband? Thank you for what you do. Thank you for that penicillin and those antibiotics and that Motrin.
So I had a buddy in the Marine Corps. Speaking of what you're talking about here. Every week he would be going to BAS to get his boar punched. Every week. And we were like, dude, stay away from the nasty stuff. Yeah. Like you say, Al.
The red light district in Korea, stay away from that. They tell you not to go there for a reason.
Oh, God.
Tamarine.
So, Rich says, send me your contact info. My brother is a Greenside Corpsman.
Nice.
So I think he's talking about you, Miss Tab.
Oh, yes.
Rich LaMonica from the Misfit Nation. And then Doc, right there, Thomas Reardon, Greenside Corpsman. His story would be awesome for your show as well. So, I wanted to point this out. Candace, this is what she said here earlier. I wanted to bring this up, and it's just a very long. As a serious veteran advocate, it hurts my heart that there is that stigma surrounding PTS as a bad thing or something wrong with you, rather than people realizing that you guys are experience things we will never see in a lifetime, nor that anyone should ever experience firsthand. You have courts that use it against you when they are part of the same employer that asks you to do your job. I would 100% agree with that, Candace. The stigma that, you know, veterans are broken needs to be gone, because we're not broken. I mean, the things that we went through, yes, we're different. And we do, you know, James Thornton says it good that your story and her story and his story, they might be different, but they are very, very similar. So, yeah.
You're not broken. You answered a necessary call.
Yes, we're not broken. So, yeah, I would agree that statement needs to go away. So I would agree with that 100%. So, Ms. Tab, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, what's the best route to get in touch with you?
So on all social media platforms, you can find the Oath We Took podcast. On LinkedIn, you can find me, Tab Bartley, or hashtag Blunt Bartley. That's probably the easiest way to find me. I'm on LinkedIn more than anywhere else, but the podcast is on all social media platforms and all streaming platforms. So that is the Oath We Took.
So yeah, definitely check out Oath We Took podcast. Look her up if you want to be a guest. I'm going to be sending her some guests that I think would be great for her show, especially because they're my Marine Corps brothers or sisters. So I got to throw that out there too. But with me, I was infantry, so I didn't really deal with a lot of female Marines. But now that I'm doing, you know, the work with the veteran side of things and being an advocate for veterans, I have met a lot of female Marines. So definitely we're going to, you know, send them your way if I think they're I'll just send them your way.
Just send them my way.
Yeah. And then I'll let you decide if their story is good enough for your show or not, because that's something that only you can decide. So. I will definitely send them your way. So, I already said Cletus Kev, Candace. I already brought up Chief Warrant Officer Evans. I will definitely send Cletus to her. But anyway, Miss Tab, is there anything else that you want to tell my watchers, my listeners, before you have to get off? Because I know you got a family at home that you got to take care of.
Since we didn't talk about it, but I will fast. So on Fridays, I always post Federal Hire Fridays. So I was hired through the federal government on a non-traditional path of what's called a non-competitive hire, which means the job was never posted on USA Jobs. I was able to get an 11 with two promotions built in. So I'm now a GS-13 without a degree, you know, got out of the Marine Corps as a sergeant. And so for those who are going through the transition and going through that path, it takes a lot of work. It does, but there are some additional routes and means and ways that you can take that are those non-traditional paths. And if interested, USDA is amazing. You don't need to look at just the DOD when it comes to federal employment by any means. USDA has 29 agencies that fall under us. As I said earlier, I'm the president of the Veteran Employee Organization with the Department of Agriculture. And we just have a great organization. So if you are getting close to transitioning out in March, the USDA will be hosting a veteran military specific career fair. And I think that's kind of
now, it. Are there USDA jobs in Kentucky or
all Florida? Across the nation, all across the nation and even in other countries. So definitely worth doing some research and seeing if it may be a place for you. If there's a place, you know, the Forest Service falls under USDA where I work, which is the Agriculture Marketing Service. I would say all the other ones, but it's only going to be the acronyms and I'm going to forget what they mean anyway, there's 29 of them. There's 29 of them. And yeah, we're all across the nation. And so definitely if you are transitioning, look outside of just the DoD. There are a ton of different federal career paths for you and just different career paths in general.
Awesome. I love it. So when you say force, are you talking about like Forest Rangers and stuff like that?
Yep. Awesome. So Forest Service, a lot of firefighters are hired under the Forest Service as well. A lot of nice. Firefighters.
Nice. I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, I want to thank you for coming on and spending this hour with us and telling your story and what you do for veterans and the Marine Corps League and the Oath We Took podcast and everything that we've talked about. I want to thank you, and I hope you have a great night.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, you're Sarah. Very nice welcome. To meet you.
We nice will to talk you. To you later. Dude, how cool was that, Al?
Yeah, she's awesome, bro.
Yeah, she is amazing. And I will definitely going to be getting with her so I can go on her podcast and be a guest for her. So
that'd be awesome.
I think it'd be super cool. And then I want to bring her on as one of the co-hosts for Tip of the Spear.
Yeah.
Have her and bring her into that fold.
Hell yeah.
I think that'd be super cool. You know, for one, she's a podcast host, so she can, you know, spread the wealth. And that's kind of the reason why we started the Tip of the Spear with, you know, the five main ones. And then we're going to bring other podcast hosts on. So if say Rich can't make it, then Miss Tab can jump in and take his place or somebody else. So
resources.
Yeah. So it's definitely something, you know, good to have those resources too.
Well, she's doing some amazing shit. Like, I mean, it's very, very impressive. I'm going to go on when I hang up, when we get off here, I'm going to go follow her podcast and start listening in on her stuff too. So.
Awesome. I love it. So yeah, we'll definitely, and then you guys might need to bring her on Triple Threat.
Yeah, for sure.
So
sure.
I'll send you her contact information now. That way you'll have it. You can email her and get her lined up, because I know you guys are booked all the way out as far as I am.
We got a lot. Yeah. But if you get, Ty's a fucking magician. So if you get her shit over to, get over to Ty, he'll work at it. You know how Ty is.
He always works his magic. And I love the connection that we got, you know, with Triple Threat and my family, because my family adores you guys.
We love Julie. She's like our favorite. So,
Dude,
we like you, but she's awesome. You know,
I know she watches your show more than she does mine, and I'm not lying.
Julie's awesome, man.
And I'm partly to blame for that, because I'm not very good at taking constructive criticism from my wife, because I feel like she's always yelling at me. So
it's always kind of criticism.
So when she watched the first, you know, or listened to the first few episodes, because before we started doing the video, we did audio, and she's like, "Well, you do this or you do that," and I'm like, "Really?" So and that just turned her off. So. But anyhow,
I'm trying to get we need to bring Julie. And me and Ty and all of us. I think it might have been Matt and somebody had an idea. We want to do one of our episodes. We want our wives to come on and do the episode. Like everybody's wives come on and have them host the show and talk about the shit from their perspective, right? Because we say what and have them us just kind of do the background, but let them do the show. We had to bring Julian as the wife guest. That'd be freaking awesome, dude.
That would be cool as fuck. Yeah. She would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
So I'm planning on doing a military child episode.
That's badass.
So like my kids, you know, I wasn't in the military when my kids, when I had my kids, but they, you know, they deal with that the way
you
do now. So I want that perspective, but I also want the perspective of kids that, you know, their dad did serve or their mom did serve. Yep. That way there's, you know, different aspects of things. And like
Brad episode.
And Lorelai just right here, she said, "Dad wants to do one of those with us kids."
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
So, yeah.
All my kids were in during pretty much my whole service, except for my daughter. She was in when I was in, like, she's been a part, but they've been a part of like the deployment side of my career. Like she was on the back end when I was in recruiting. So it's pretty cool when you get like the wives or the kids perspective. Yeah, that'd be pretty neat.
Well, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I love it. I love it. Well, Al, I know you got things to do. Football.
I love you, brother. I appreciate you.
I love you too, man. You have a good one. And I'll talk to you later, man.
Hoorah.
Man, JR, thank you for coming, hanging out with me for this hour. I know you needed to get out of your house because there's a lot of estrogen there. But thank you for coming on. I hopefully you enjoyed your time here.
I did. Hopefully it went fast.
It did. It does go by fast. So I definitely want to thank you. My daughter, Lorelai, Lo, as I call her. Peace out, Mike. Be careful. Thank you for joining in and watching like usual, brother. And if you need me, Mike, you know how to get in touch with me, brother. But yeah, we had a great show. Tab Bartley, I'm going to put her information back up here. Hold on. Let's do this. Reach out to Miss Tab Bartley. You can go on YouTube, Facebook, any platform, Oath We Took Podcasts. There's a little bit of her bio there. She's born in Indiana, in Lafayette, Indiana. So reach out to her. She can, if you want to get on her show, if you're a Marine Corps veteran or Greenside FMF veteran. So reach out to her. She will take care of you. If you're in the Marine Corps League, follow her. She does some amazing things with the Marine Corps League as well. So definitely reach out to her. So like I say, always. First, let me preface this. If you talk to a veteran, if JR comes up to me and says, hey, how you doing? I'm going to look at him and I'm going to say, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. But don't ever take that as face value. Ask that next hard question. How are you really doing? Because then we might open up. Most of the time we will open up, especially if we know you and we know that, like say JR comes up to me and I say, I'm fine. And then he asks me, hey, how are you really doing? Well, JR knows me personally. So I'm going to have to open up and tell him, well, I'm dealing with this or I'm dealing with that. So definitely ask that next hard question on how are you really doing? And then like I always say, stay safe out there. I got your six.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show.
Suggestions and comments are always welcome.
Cannot wait to have another great show with y'all.
Don't forget, you can find Homefront Sit Rep on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Stay safe out there. I got your six.